Princess Alyonushka sat beside her father's bed, her little brother, Prince Ivanushka, beside her. She took her father's hand. She could feel his pulse weakening through his thinned skin, his body frail beyond its years, a persistent stench of rot reeking from his dying body. Only 2 months earlier, he had been strong and hale, but that was before the curse, before the decay. On one dark day, the king had spited a traveling witch who took her revenge. Alyonushka had tried all she could to save her father, but she was too young and inexperienced to know how to counter a wicked witch's spells. And now her father was on death's door. He croaked out a final word of wisdom. "Go, my children. When life leaves my body, the kingdom shall fall. The witch has made it so." Tears fell from Alyonushka's eyes. She had lost her mother when she was only a child. She had hoped her father would be able to see her wed, to see her happy, but both the kingdom and his body were slowly rotting from the inside. She squeezed her father's hands, then stood to leave. As she walked towards the door, Alyonushka saw their father give her one last smile before the air left his lungs and his chest lay still. It was time for them to flee the only home they had ever known. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every other Saturday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. Today, we're covering Sister Alyonushka, Brother Ivanushka, a Russian folktale about two siblings who are cast into the world after their parents die. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Sister Alyonushka, Brother Ivanushka, features death by burning. Please exercise caution for children under 13. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. And if you enjoy today's episode, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It really does help. Sister Alyonushka, Brother Ivanushka is a Russian fairy tale with unclear origins. Its first written versions are in the 16th and 17th century, but like many folk tales, it's likely much older than these writings. The most well-known versions were recorded by Russian folklorist Alexander Afanasyev and the Brothers Grimm. Afanasyev's story's structure is in two parts. The first half feels like a simple morality tale built with a repetition that's common for fables. The second half has little to do with the first and lacks a clear moral. In addition, these two half-plots are only connected by a single thread. This seems to indicate that it possibly began as two separate stories, which were cobbled together into one over various retellings. The version written by the Brothers Grimm is quite a bit longer and simply titled Little Brother and Little Sister, yet it remains a simple story. Today's telling is a blending of the two, with details taken from both traditions. Alyonushka and Ivanushka panted as they fled their father's castle. The early morning birds had quieted, and a grim haze had spread through the air. Plants began to brown and wither, the grass in the courtyard drying into husks. As promised, the witch's curse had left their father's corpse and was infecting the rest of the kingdom. Alyonushka could feel it sapping her strength as she ran, but she would not allow herself to slow down, even for a moment. For to slow down would be a certain, painful death. As the sun rose behind them, the heat rose with it. Sweat flowed in trails down her back, and her feet began to ache. She tried to ignore Ivanushka's coughing. Alyonushka and her brother ran for hours. More than once, Ivanushka would slow or stop, and Alyonushka had to urge him to keep running. He had always been prone to giving up, but she would stay strong for both of them. She'd failed to save her father and her mother. She would not fail her brother, too. In time, as they kept running, the grass turned green again. Bird songs could be heard in the distance, and the breeze began to cool. They'd cross the border out of their kingdom. With the brightening scenery, Alyonushka slowed to catch her breath. She grinned in relief. Ivanushka's spirits lifted when she told him he no longer had to run. He began to stroll forward at a relaxed pace, the realization of safety giving him a renewed vigor. Alyonushka followed. She hoped they would find some form of civilization soon. Their old lives may have ended, but perhaps they could discover new ones elsewhere. As they trod through forests and fields, their legs grew heavy, and thirst began gnawing at the backs of their throats. Then, in the distance, Alyonushka heard the pattering of a stream. Even though her limbs still ached from their flight, Alyonushka yelped with excitement and took off at a sprint. She heard Ivanushka call out from behind her,
"Ugh, must we run once more?"
As she bounded over logs and stones, she called back,
"Do you not hear the stream?"
With the mention of a stream, she heard her brother's footsteps begin to race. Ivanushka sprinted after his sister, each step taking them closer to the brook. When Alyonushka finally saw the clear, flowing water, she thought nothing had ever looked so welcoming. Ivanushka jogged to the stream and bent down to drink, but as Alyonushka approached the flow, she noticed that something was not quite right. The ground was ever so slightly sloped, and the stream was flowing uphill. As she hesitated, she heard a voice call out from the water, so soft it was almost imperceptible, repeating the same phrase over and over again. "He who drinks from me will turn into a bear. He who drinks from me will turn into a bear." Just as Ivanushka was about to bring water up to his lips, Alyonushka slapped his hands, scattering the liquid across the ground. Ivanushka turned to his sister, anger in his eyes. Alyonushka fixed her gaze.
"Don't you hear the water's message? The witch's curse has spread even here. If you drink, you will turn into a bear and maul me."
Ivanushka scoffed, then stood.
"Fine, sister. I will pass this stream, but we must hurry to the next."
The siblings waded through the water and continued deeper into the forest. As the sun passed its crest and began to lower, the air cooled. But even with this relief, their thirst was ever present. Before long, they came across a second stream. Hesitant, Alyonushka closed her eyes to focus on the stream's voice. Perhaps it also had something to say.
"He who drinks from me will turn into a wolf. He who drinks from me will turn into a wolf." Alyonushka sighed, resigned to continue on, but as she opened her eyes, she saw that Ivanushka had already stooped down, lifting water to his face with no caution at all. Once again, Alyonushka slapped her brother's hands.
"Can't you hear it speaking? If you drink, you will transform into a wolf."
Ivanushka's face turned red with anger.
"I tell you now, I will drink from the next stream we cross, no matter what you say."
Alyonushka nodded, worried for her younger brother. She prayed the next stream would flow with normal water, and the pair continued on their way. As they walked through the dark forest, each breath began to sting in Alyonushka's throat. She began to feel lightheaded, and the sounds of the forest rang in her ears. When she first heard the next stream, Alyonushka turned to see Ivanushka jogging forward, desperate to quench his thirst. Alyonushka tried to hold him back so she could listen, but he pushed her aside. She didn't have the strength to get up. Ivanushka crawled forward and bent down by the water and lapped it up with a ravenous fervor. Alyonushka held her breath, hoping the stream would remain silent, praying Ivanushka's slurping would be the only sound she heard. But then she heard the stream calling out, "He who drinks from me will turn into a goat. He who drinks from me will turn into a goat." Her heart skipped a beat. She clenched her fists and opened her eyes, dreading the horrific sight she knew she was about to witness. Through her tears, she saw fur sprout from her brother's skin, horns growing out from his forehead, his fingers fused together and turned into hard black hooves. His chin grew a beard, and his nose stretched forward, all the while his mouth was in the stream, gulping down water as fast as it could. Ivanushka didn't even seem to notice as he turned into a goat. Coming up, Alyonushka and her brother cope with his beastly transformation. Now back to the story. Upon their father's death, Princess Alyonushka and her younger brother, Prince Ivanushka, fled from the castle they had spent their entire life in. Their land had been cursed by a wicked witch, and they ran as far as they could to escape the rotting death their father and their homeland had succumbed to. Yet the rivers and streams had carried the curse, allowing the dark magic to pursue them in a foreign kingdom. Alyonushka knew as long as they didn't drink from the rivers and streams, they'd be safe. But after a day of running, Ivanushka found himself unable to resist his desperate thirst. He drank from a magical stream, blissfully ignorant, as the curse transformed him into a goat. Alyonushka stared in horror at her brother, the hairs of his newly grown goat beard soaked in the creek. The pupils in his sweet blue eyes had widened and spread into long horizontal slits, ghastly, soulless, straight lines. A sob rose in her throat, but her eyes could produce no new tears. He seemed content as he guzzled down the liquid, and at least he wasn't thirsty anymore. Alyonushka grew dizzy with anger, or perhaps dehydration. Their father was dead. Their kingdom was gone. They had nothing. They were nothing. Maybe after their world had been taken from them, being a goat wasn't so bad.
Maybe the cruel witch had shown the children mercy in her curse. Perhaps Alyonushka should drink as well. She crawled to the shore, scooped up some water in her hands, and heard her brother loudly bleat. He made insistent goat noises, angry goat noises. Then, the closer she listened, the clearer she began to hear his words mixed in with his bleating.
"No, sister, you must go on. Father would not wish us both to be goats."
Alyonushka sighed, letting the water trickle away between her fingers. Her brother was right. She had to carry on for their father's memory. She rose to her feet and began to walk once more, Ivanushka's hooves following close behind her. Each tree she passed blended into the next. Each step became more difficult than the last. She began to wonder if she was walking in circles. Her muscles continued to ache, her thirst almost unbelievable. As the sun sank below the horizon, Alyonushka felt her eyes droop and her pace slow. She lowered herself to the ground. Perhaps she should just lie down and rest. But her brother the goat jabbed his horns into her side, waking her with a start. He said,
"You must keep walking. If you stop now, you may not reach water before you die."
Alyonushka replied,
"But brother, I am too tired to continue on. I cannot take one step further."
The goat Ivanushka hummed a thoughtful hum before speaking.
"I am small, but I will try to carry you. Climb onto my back."
Alyonushka, too tired to protest, lay across her brother, holding tightly to his fur. Ivanushka clopped onwards, and Alyonushka closed her eyes and drifted off to sleep. She awoke with a cough, her throat parched beyond measure. The light morning rays of sun caressed her skin, and she heard the birds chirping in the distance. But the one thing that truly drew her attention was the soft, soothing trickle of water. She opened her eyes to see her brother capering about in a nearby field, as jolly as a goat could be. He had laid her down on soft grass next to a rippling creek. She tried to hear if the creek had anything to say, but it had no words for her. It was safe. Eagerly, Alyonushka plunged her face into the water. She drank long and deep, sighing in relief. Just then, she heard a man's voice call out to her.
"Excuse me, fair maiden. Who are you, and why have you brought a goat into my garden?"
Alyonushka turned to see a tall, handsome man striding towards her. He wore an elegant cloak and a shining crown. He was clearly the king of the land they'd escaped to. Her face flushed red with embarrassment.
"I apologize, Your Majesty. I am Princess Alyonushka, and my brother is Prince Ivanushka, and we have fled all day and all night from our home. A witch has cursed our land. It killed our father, the king of our once vibrant kingdom. She poisoned the rivers and transformed my brother into that goat there. But it seems we've finally found safety in your lands. That is, if you'll allow us to stay."
The king replied,
"Allow you? You are so beautiful. I should be honored for you to stay. I would be even more delighted if you should be my wife."
Alyonushka was stunned. She got to her feet, a little taken aback by his abrupt offer. But she was desperate to be polite. And what options did she have? When he told her his name, King Vladimir, she realized she had heard of him before. He was known as a just and noble king, and before her father had passed, he had spoken of Vladimir fondly, even going so far as to suggest a potential marriage himself. Ever pragmatic, Alyonushka accepted. The couple was wed, and they had a grand celebration. Remembering her father's fondness for King Vladimir, Alyonushka began to grow fond of him as well. She got to know him a little better, and in time, she fell in love with Vladimir, just as he had fallen in love with her. They lived happily in the kingdom's castle, while Ivanushka, the talking goat, could wander through the castle as he pleased, often joining his sister in the dining hall, where no other animals were allowed to go. Little did they know, as word of the king's union spread throughout the region, one woman was greatly displeased to hear Princess Alyonushka's name. The vile witch stewed in her cabin. It wasn't enough that the wretched, rude king had died. It wasn't enough that his land had been tainted, or that her magic had turned his son into a goat. The entire family was supposed to be eliminated. The curse still had power. Under the cover of darkness, the witch traveled to Alyonushka's new kingdom. Using her magic, she disguised herself as a palace maid. She spent several days cleaning the halls and several nights watching the royal chambers, waiting patiently for the perfect opportunity to strike. One day, the witch saw King Vladimir prepare a hunting party, and she knew her time had come. Her debt would be paid in blood. The night after King Vladimir left, the witch strode boldly into the royal couple's bedroom. With poisoned words, she whispered into sleeping Alyonushka's ears. The curse of rot may have moved slowly, but it was inescapable. As the sun rose the next day, Alyonushka awoke with a tickle in her throat and a throbbing pain in her brain. Something inside her felt horribly, unnaturally wrong. When we return, the witch's curse haunts Alyonushka once again. Now back to the story. After a horrific curse killed her father, destroyed her kingdom, and turned her brother into a goat, Princess Alyonushka fled to the lands of the honorable King Vladimir. She'd married the king, convinced it was the perfect escape, but the vengeful witch who cast the curse finally tracked the young queen down. Alyonushka woke the next morning feeling ill. Her rosy complexion had turned pale, and her face seemed to have thinned overnight, unhealthily gaunt. She hoped it was merely a cold and went about her day as usual. The sun set and rose again, and Alyonushka found that her condition had only worsened. She had gotten paler and thinner, and the itch in her throat had become a persistent burn. Even her brother, the goat, seemed concerned. Worried that things may only get worse, she wandered the castle looking for a servant who could help her find a cure. She had no luck. Every servant she encountered apologized, for as much as they loved their queen, they had never seen this sort of illness. When she thought she had spoken to every servant in the castle, she attempted to return to her bed. But on the route back to her room, Alyonushka stumbled across a middle-aged maid she had never seen before, polishing the doorknob on her bedroom door. The maid had eerily sharp eyes, set in stark contrast to her kindly face. Alyonushka thought she knew every servant under her husband's employ. She called out, "Your presence here is strange, but perhaps not unwelcome.
Perhaps you know of a cure for my illness?
The servant replied,
You wish to be healed? Go to the sea at the hour of twilight. Just as the sun is cut by the horizon, so must you cut the sea's water with your jaw and drink deep of its delights. Then you will be healed.
Something about the servant's voice made Alyonushka uncomfortable, but she couldn't pinpoint it. In her weakened state, she cared only for a cure, and if the sea should provide that, Alyonushka would go. She thanked the servant, then stepped out of the castle. She set off for the coast on foot to keep her departure discreet. She'd be healed before her husband returned from his hunting trip, giving him nothing to worry over. The sun was setting as Alyonushka stepped onto the sandy beach. She walked into the water, the liquid cooling her feet, the hem of her gown soaking in the gently churning waves. She watched the sun touch the horizon. She waited until its circle split in two, just as the maid described. She took a deep breath in, then bent down, facing the waves. But as she opened her mouth, a wicked face appeared beneath the surface. The face was thin and cruel. A sadistic grin spread across its cheeks. Its eyes were filled with venom, and its nose was covered in boils. It was the witch herself. Before Alyonushka could react, the witch sprang forth from the depths. Her harsh cackle pierced Alyonushka's eardrums. With lightning speed, the vicious woman wrapped a leather collar tightly around Alyonushka's neck. It had a long iron chain connected to it. In the blink of an eye, the witch attached the chain to a large boulder. With a flick of her wrist, she flung the boulder far out to sea. The boulder sank fast, dragging the chain with it. With a snap and a scream, Alyonushka was pulled into the dark depths. There was a fierce ringing in her ears, and though she was surrounded by water, she couldn't help but recall the thirst she'd felt as she escaped her homeland. The ringing was the last thing she registered as she faded into blackness. The witch celebrated, thinking she'd finally killed Alyonushka unseen. But she didn't even register the goat perched on the cliffs above. The goat who used to be a prince. Ivanushka watched, frozen in shock, as the witch began to glow with powerful magic. So bright, he had to avert his eyes. When the glow receded, the witch looked just like Alyonushka. Before Ivanushka could react, the witch, disguised as Alyonushka, flew into the night. Ivanushka rushed to the shore, pawing uselessly at the waves with his hooves. There was no trace of a chain he could pull to save his sister. Tears rolled down his cheeks. He mourned his sister, but he knew he must warn the king of the charlatan. Vladimir was the only family Ivanushka had left, and he wouldn't let him fall prey to the evil witch. The next day, King Vladimir rode home, brimming with joy. His hunt had been incredibly successful, and he felt both exhilarated and satisfied as he returned home, horses laden with game. Vladimir wished to share his success with his wife, who he had missed dearly. None of the beautiful furs he was bringing back could match her beauty. He wished to see her smile more than anything else in the world. Once at the castle, he rushed to her chambers, where he found Alyonushka laying in bed. He said,
"My wonderful wife, join me for a bountiful feast.
My hunt was magnificent, and I wish to share my joy with you. Your brother may even join if he feels inclined to partake of the flesh of beasts."
Alyonushka smiled at the king and pulled him in for a warm embrace.
"I would love to feast with you, but the goat can stay outside. He smells something awful."
Vladimir was confused. Alyonushka and her brother had always been inseparable. He did not understand why she would want to exclude him from a feast, but perhaps they had gotten into a spat while he was away. The servants prepared the feast, mounds upon mounds of food piled high upon the banquet table. When the meal was ready, Vladimir and Alyonushka made their way into the banquet hall. As they entered, Vladimir saw Ivanushka sprinting towards them. Ivanushka bleated, his voice almost pleading. Vladimir hesitated for a moment, but Alyonushka quickly pulled her husband into the banquet hall, slamming the doors shut behind them. Livid, she yelled at the servants.
"That goat tried to get in, even after I ordered it not to. If it wants to join the feast, it will be as an entree. Sharpen the knives. The goat dies today."
Vladimir was taken aback. He asked,
"You wish to kill your own brother? Whatever has changed?"
She responded,
"He did when he became a wretched goat. I demand he be executed this instant."
King Vladimir began to suspect something was afoot, but he decided to play along.
"Very well, my queen, but I must see the goat to grant him one last wish. I owe him that much."
She frowned, but did not object.
"So long as he dies today, grant him whatever a goat desires."
Vladimir nodded, then stepped outside the banquet hall, where Ivanushka crouched, crying upon the ground. The king spoke.
"Surely you cry because you have heard the queen's commands."
Ivanushka responded,
"I have, my lord. Grant me one last wish. Allow me to go to the sea so I may drink the water and cleanse myself."
Vladimir found this request odd, but he'd allow it.
"I will join you as you walk to ensure you do not escape."
Ivanushka nodded, then began to clop away. The goat and the king walked together, saying nothing, the ominous edict of the queen hanging heavily over their heads. Finally, they reached the sea. The king watched from the cliffs as Ivanushka waded into the water and began to weep.
"Alyonushka, my sister, come up. Come up to the shore. Hot fires are burning. Big kettles are boiling. Steel knives are being sharpened. They want to slaughter me."
The king was shocked to hear the water answer back.
"Ivanushka, my little brother, the heavy stone is pulling me down. The cruel serpent has sucked out my heart."
The water's voice sounded like the voice of his beloved, Alyonushka. As Ivanushka spoke to the sea, Vladimir realized that it was not the water speaking at all. The voice was something inside the water, and he knew, without a doubt, that it was his wife. The king sprinted forward and dove into the sea. He swam as quickly as he could, ignoring the heavy drag of his cloak against the water. Paying no heed to his aching lungs, he dove all the way to the bottom, where he saw Alyonushka, cold and afraid, chained to a stone on the sea floor. Vladimir pulled a dagger from his cloak and sliced through the leather clasp around her neck. He pulled his wife up to the surface as hastily as he could. When her head broke the surface, she spluttered and took a sudden gasp of air.
Vladimir felt tears of joy rising in his eyes. As soon as Alyonushka stepped foot on dry land, vigor returned to her face. Upon seeing his sister, Ivanushka bleated with delight. The three stayed on the beach for a long moment, crying and hugging each other. Alyonushka explained that the witch had cursed her to live in bottom-dwelling misery, dying a slow, rotting death, just like the one forced upon her father. It was a miracle Ivanushka and Vladimir had found her on the ocean floor. Soon after, they made their way back to the palace, determined to stop the witch from hurting their family again. As they approached the dining hall, they saw guards rushing in before them, weapons drawn. Vladimir turned the corner to see a dozen of his men flanking a wretched old hag with a horrid face, hands raised, eyes wide with fear. The hag shouted,
"I am your queen! Obey your queen and put your weapons down!"
Vladimir laughed a deep, booming laugh. The witch looked up. Her eyes went wide as she saw the king, the goat, and the woman she had drowned standing before her, alive and well. She clutched at her face and her expression fell as she realized her appearance was plain for all to see. Her plot had failed, and now she was exposed and vulnerable. She fell to her knees and began to beg.
"Please, Your Majesty, I only did it because I love you."
Vladimir shook his head and declared to the room around them,
"Then you shall burn for your love. Drag her to the stake."
The witch screeched as the guards grabbed her arms and pulled her to the courtyard. They strapped her to the stake and burned her alive until the screaming stopped. As the flames scorched her flesh, the witch's magic dissipated, the grass becoming green, the trees moistening, and the flowers standing tall once more. As the witch burned, the king, queen, and goat feasted on the spoils of the hunt. With each bite he took, Ivanushka's features began to shift and change. His fur receded into his skin, his nose shrank, and his eyes regained their human shape. He was a boy again, and for the first time since her father's mistake, Alyonushka had nothing to fear. Sister Alyonushka, Brother Ivanushka is a strange little tale, and its morals aren't as readily apparent as other stories of its age. However, its meaning becomes apparent when interpreted through the lens of Russian literature. Whereas German fairy tales place a high value on work ethic and duty, Russian fairy tales tend to emphasize patience, resignation to one's fate, compassion, and kindness. The encounter with the magical creeks can be read as a lesson in caution and self-control. It teaches the young that even though they may desperately wish to do something dangerous, the consequences would not be worth the risk. As such, Alyonushka's patience in refusing to drink from the creeks is rewarded when she meets a king. She then extends compassion to her brother by letting him live with her and her new husband, even though her brother is now a goat who has no business in the royal palace. Even the king treats the goat with empathy and kindness by allowing the goat to drink water from the sea before his execution. These acts of kindness then save both the king and his love. In the end, it's a wonderful little tale about the virtues of patience and kindness. And for Alyonushka and Ivanushka, that's all it needs to be.
Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. You can find all previous episodes of Tales, as well as all of Parcast's other shows, on Spotify and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Several of you have asked how to help us. If you enjoy the show, the best way to help is to leave a 5-star review. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. Join me in 2 weeks for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Michael Langsner, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, Freddie Beckley, and Paul Mahler. This episode of Tales was written by Giles Hovseth, with writing assistance by Maggie Admire. I'm Vanessa Richardson.